Mindset is everything. You know, it's mindfulness. You know, until you're mentally prepared, you're never physically ready. So whatever it is you're doing, I mean, and if you want to know what you think about, look at your life. That's what you think about. And if you want to improve that, you need to improve your thinking.
Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments. Do you want to cross the bridge between continuity, other to change, and success? Discipline. The time is now to face the discipline, fight through the pain to reach power within, and to ultimately become an improved person. Cross the bridge. Fight each day for the success you've been waiting for. Fight for the opportunity to thrive outside your comfort zone. These choices don't come easily and definitely don't come twice. Hard work pays off, but in order for that to happen, you have to fight through the pain, the rejection, and the heartbreak. Wake up each day with attitude to change. Today, you will walk with confidence, knowing that today will be the day you face your fears of failure.
It's okay to fail. It's okay, because failure ain't that until you give up. Failure is a learning lesson. We need to reframe our belief about failure and watch it empower you. And to stop freezing you up, because that's what failure does. When you look at yourself as a failure, you're frozen.
The only people that fail are people that quit. You know, if that stops you from achieving your goals, then, you know, you have failed. You're embracing failure.
The moment you tell yourself that you can't do something, that's the moment when you won't do it. I'm a huge believer in accepting the pain. I believe that it's going to strengthen my mind.
With that attitude, tomorrow or the next day, progress will be accomplished. You will know you faced the discipline and fought your way out of your comfort zone. We need to feel pain to feel happiness. The pain drives us to strive for change. Just know that when life becomes hard someday, it's guaranteed that it will get better. Maybe not right now, but as long as you try, the chance of change and success increases.
You're not done, bro. It's the start. Reframe the story, bro. It's in our control to reframe our story. Why do we buy the story that we're given? Why do we give up on this gift called life so easily and allow the pain to stop us from moving on into our great future, man? We got this. We got control. We're a special creation, and we give up and we throw it away so easy. That's why I can't give up and I can't throw it away, because I realize that I'm special, that I'm made by a special power. And we all are, every single one of us. Look at the gift that you have got.
Don't make yourself fall short. You know, it's so easy to accept that nothing is going to happen for you. You know, that you're just going to be another number. That's the easiest way. You know, get a job 9 to 5 and that's easy. You know, it's accept that something can happen, but you have to put the work in. It's just, don't be scared of hard work.
What you do, there's loads of people doing it, but not like you. Not like you and not like you. You do it your way. There's no one on the planet like you. No one. They ain't got your DNA. They ain't got your fingerprints. They haven't got your tone, the way you do things. They're not like you. So you can't decide to throw in the towel and get out the game of life. You can't do that. You're robbing us of what you've been given, what's hidden inside you. There's a hidden leader in all of us. There's gifts in all of us. Why don't we tap into it? Forget what this world has taught us, to fall in line, do as you're told. No, think for yourself, step out of line. Feel that freedom and power of stepping out of line and saying, wait a minute, hold on, what you're saying doesn't make sense. What you're saying is not right. You're taking away my constitutional right to to live life on my terms. And that's what benefits everybody else. We impact on everybody else's life by taking ownership of ours, by using our gifts and our talents, by treating everybody the way we like them to treat us. The problem is, bro, we're not loving ourselves.
Well, hard work is required, you know. Everything in life doesn't just happen. Success doesn't just come, you know. You got to put, you know, your time, effort, hard work, dedications, and you need all those components to lead, you know, towards your end goal.
Success is a series of failures. You've got to keep on to achieve anything in life. To achieve success in life, you must fail and keep on failing. And always, when you start failing, always know that if you're failing throughout your life, as long as you're not repeating the same failures, that you're growing at the same time.
Don't wait for the opportunity to be handed to you on a plate. Only you and just you can make that happen. The sun still shines. The world still spins. Life continues. You're here for one reason, yourself. Cherish your time and don't waste it thinking about what you want to achieve. Spend time willing and completing your goals because nothing is impossible. Progress can finally be made. The barrier can finally be broken. Happiness can finally be seen in the horizon, and your mindset can finally be changed.
You know, if you tell yourself that you never can become a great chef, then you won't become a good chef. If you tell yourself that you never can become a good athlete, then you probably won't become a great athlete one day, you know. It starts with the belief. The more you believe and tell yourself and set yourself goals and visualize yourself, you know, holding that trophy or even lifting that big lift, you know.
Everything happened for a reason. No regrets. All the negative things that happened, I'm thankful for it because hopefully I learned from those situations. That's what I had to go through. You know, that's what I did. But keeping that positive message in my head, knowing that I can. And knowing that, you know, no matter what anybody else thought, I believe. And that's what I want every kid to understand.
Falling down is an accident. Staying down is a choice. The rise is so much more important than the mistake at heart. The mistakes you make are more significant than you think they are. They define you. You change you. They transform you into the person you are today. And change you into the person you can become tomorrow. Stop making the mistakes you make today. Define the person you can be. The way you rise, the way you push past what's holding you back is how you grow. How you grow into the person you can and will become. So smile today, sweat today, feel the pain today, because nothing but time is wasted. This time is powerful, precious. What else are you going to do? How much more are you willing to work? How many more steps can you take? Start pushing yourself until you feel the pain. This pain is your sign, the sign that you've made it. Your past has gone. The present is now, and so is the future. It's bright. With this attitude, it can be bright. Brighter than you can ever imagine. This is your time to prove yourself that life can be so much more, that it's sacred, and something so sacred sometimes takes sacrifices. Sacrifices you will not regret this time next year.
We're all worth far more than anyone can imagine. Our power, honestly, is endless, and our potential has the power to make something real out of the life you live.
Take control of your life. Control your actions, because your actions that you make right now define your future. And how do you see your future? You see it successful, full of life, fueled with potential. And if that's what you want, then you're going to need to take action right now, because otherwise you're going to get to a point where you realize you don't have the time left to make the progress that you need to make. You're going to soon realize that you have no time left. because your future is now. You might feel tired now, but then it is going to matter and make a world of a difference, and you're going to thank yourself right now. Right now is the time to make it in a life where you live in this very moment, right here, right now. Stop thinking of everybody else. Stop seeking everyone else's approval and seek your own approval. Be proud of yourself. Listen to what I just said. Be proud of yourself.
You're not done, bro. It's the start. Reframe the story, bro. It's in our control to reframe our story. Why do we buy the story that we're given? Why do we give up on this gift called life so easily and allow the pain to stop us from moving on into our great future, man? We got this. We got control. We're a special creation, and we give up and we throw it away so easy. That's why I can't give up and I can't throw it away. There's no one on the planet like you. No one. So you can't decide to throw in the towel. You can't do that. You're robbing us of what you've been given, what's hidden inside you. There's a hidden leader in all of us.
I will not quit because I am better than that. I will not give in because I am powerful. I will not quit because I can succeed. I will not quit because quitting is not in my nature. I will not quit. I will never quit. I will never surrender.
My situation was what it was at a very young age. And so my whole life, I wanted different for my family. Ever since I was a kid, right? And my coach took me across town to play ball. And when we'd be riding home, we'd be riding through these neighborhoods, right? And we would see people in their living condition, right? And he would be pointing out different houses and people, just telling me about life. You know, he was teaching me and molding me, right? And he was showing me that, hey, man, like, you don't have to live like that. And when that would be happening, every time I would go back into my community, I was there in the situation, but I was very much cognizant that it was a better life out there if I made the right decisions and right choices. And so it was almost like you come up in this situation of opposition and adversity that you're in. And then every single day, you get to go out and you get to see a different life and you get to be free for a few hours. Then they bring you back into the opposition and adversity. So it's almost like you're taking a test, then they pull you out of the situation, they take you somewhere, they show you the answers to the test, then they put you back in a situation and they make you take the test again. And you know the answers, but the opposition and the adversity and the current of it is so strong that for most people, they forget the answers. And for me, I wanted to be laser focused and keep the answers so I can make the right decisions and choices, so I can pass what I felt at the time was the ultimate test. Because I've came from a situation to where I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. I came from a place to where I watched my mother scrape up change. It's a lot of moments and it's a lot of people that change and impact your life, right? Like, I don't believe it's just one moment and you say, this one moment just changed my life. Even though that moment may have, but it's going to be another moment that's going to shape and change your life as well. Like, my arm changed my life, my teacher changed my life. But I'll never forget, he drove up in my neighborhood and I was on the corner with one of my uncles. And my uncles at the time, they were drug dealers, right? And I wasn't selling drugs, I was just hanging out. You hung out in the neighborhood on the street. And he pulled up in his truck and he was just like, what are you doing out here? Like, I'm chilling. He's like, no, you didn't hear me. What are you doing out here? I was like, I'm hanging out. He's like, get in the truck. I got in his truck. He said, point me to your house. I pointed him to my grandmother's house. We pulled up. I get out. And he says to me, Ink, you're better than that. And I was like, I hear you. I was like, but the same corner you just picked me up from, uncle wear a 2X t-shirt. Said, morning when I come to your class, I'm gonna be wearing a 2X t-shirt that he stood on the corner in and probably sold drugs in or did whatever all night. And I'm 135 pounds. So I hear you, right? But to me, those are just words, right? Basically saying to him, I'm coming from a real situation, right? So I hear you talking, but I'm coming from a real situation. And he was like, you think I'm playing? I'll be here in the morning to pick you up. And the next morning he picked me up and he said, here's the deal, man. He said, I'm gonna pick you up. I'm gonna play you in a game of one-on-one basketball every morning. And I'm gonna make you recite a proverb until you graduate high school. And I was like, he's just talking. And every single morning he did it. He picked me up, take me to school. He would play me in a game of one-on-one basketball, make me recite a proverb. And this is the moment I knew it was for real. The principal came into the gymnasium. And in Atlanta, and in, you know, school systems, most of them worldwide, public schools, you got this thing between the church and the state, right, to where they don't want you to bring church religion into the school system, which I get and I understand. And the principal came into the gymnasium and said to him, I heard you've been given inky proverbs, which proverbs out of the Bible. And he said, yes, sir, I have. He said, stop it or I have to fire you. And at the time, my teacher was 23 years old, right? We were his first class of students, fresh out of college. And he looked at the principal and he said, well, you're just going to have to fire me because his life is worth it, right? And I'll never forget in that moment saying, if he's willing to put the way that he provides for his family on the line for me, I got to give him everything I got, right? And I never wanted to let him down. So I would be in the park late when I was a kid and after football practice because my mother worked a double shift. And so I would stay there and I loved the game. And when she would pull up in the park, you know, most of the kids would be going home and I would be sitting there on the bench. And she drove at the time. It was an old Buick Regal. And hubcaps off the car, you know, seats torn up. Car was all beat up, but we loved it. You know, it was my mother's car. And she would pull up and get out and I would hug her, kiss her. And I would say, Mom, if you don't mind, can you sit in the car and turn on your car lights? I got to do some extra drills. Got to go to the NFL so you'll never have to work another day in your life. And I knew my mother was tired, right? And my mother never said to me, nah, boy, let's go. Get in the car. Let's go home, right? Like, bump that. Not doing that. She would always go sit in that car. And she would turn on those car lights, and I'll be out on the field, I'll be running laps, I'll be doing agility drills, I'll be running sprints, chasing a dream to go to the NFL. And for me, that level of sacrifice was the thing that drove me and still drives me until this day, right? That's why when I competed, it wasn't just about a sport for me, right? Like, I looked at competition, I looked at work ethic, I looked at dedication, I looked at commitment, I looked at sacrifice as this is life for me. This isn't about a sport. This is about things that I can extract from this sport and apply it to everyday life to make me somewhat of a decent human being, right? And so when my mother did that for me, that made an impact and an imprint on my soul, right, that I take with me even until this day. And so at the beginning of my junior year, my coach came to me and basically said, hey, Ink, man, you're projected draft pick. Like, NFL teams scouting you. They love you. All you got to do is do what you've been doing, and you'll get a shot. You'll be an automatic multimillionaire. You could take care of your family. And I was like, awesome, man. And so coming into my junior year, I'm thinking all I have to do is do what I've been doing. I just got to play football. That's easy, right? And I come out the first game we play against California Bears. I execute, I have a great game, we get the victory, and we're going into the second game against Air Force. Tough group, disciplined group. Fourth quarter rolls around, 2 minutes left. And so usually in 2 minutes, the game is basically about to be over. And so we're thinking, we make a couple of more stops. I'm thinking if I get the opportunity to hit a guy in the game, make him fumble, get ready for Florida the next week. And so the quarterback drops back, throws it to a guy, he catches it. And I go to make the tackle. That's supposed to end the game. And as soon as I hit him, right, something different happened that never happened to me before in my life. Every breath in my body left, right? My body went completely limp, fell to the ground, blacked out, right? When I came to, my teammates were standing over me like, Ink, get up, let's rock. I was like, I can't, Right? I can't move. There was a shot going through my body. I couldn't feel anything. But me thinking, it's just a stinger, shoulder injury, nothing too serious. Right? And when they get me over to the hospital and they run their test, and then they bring me back into a room, and my mother had just left the room kissing, praying, you know, kissed me on my head, praying, and saying, Ink, you'll be fine. Right? And when she walks out, the doctor runs in and says, guys, we got to rush this kid back to emergency surgery. He's about to die. I got to rush you back, take the main vein out of your left leg, plug it into your chest in order to save your life. He said, oh, I guarantee you, you won't be here in the morning. He said, you're bleeding internally. And so the next morning I woke up, I was grateful that I was still alive, right? And I think because of the seriousness of the situation, right, it made me view football in a micro way, in terms of I love the game, right? It hurt that my career ended, right? It hurt it, right? But I was there. My life was spared. Like, if they didn't catch that my artery had busted and I was bleeding internally, I could have went to sleep that night, and the next morning, the title on the newspaper would have been different. It wouldn't have been Inky Johnson suffered possibly career-ending injury. It'd have been Inky Johnson lost his life last night from a tackle made in the game. And so it made me view it differently, even though I had a long road of rehabilitation for my arm ahead of me. My grandmother used to say something to me all the time, and I think it's so true. And she would say to me, Inky, either somebody is in the midst of adversity or just came out of adversity, or it won't be long before they head into adversity. So you need to be prepared either way. And so we all go through adversity, opposition. I think that's the thing that makes us all in common as people, right? No matter if you're from London, Atlanta, Florida, California, New York, like, we're all going to go through something at some point or phase in our life, right? And as cliche as it sounds, when the quote says, it's never about what happens to you, it's about how you respond to it.
You're not done, bro. It's the start. Reframe the story, bro. It's in our control to reframe our story. Why do we buy the story that we're given? Why do we give up on this gift called life so easily and allow the pain to stop us from moving on into our great future, man? We got this. We got control. We're a special creation, and we give up and we throw it away so easy. That's why I can't give up and I can't throw it away, because I realize that I'm special, that I'm made by a special power, and we all are, every single one of us. Look at the gift that you lot have got. What you do, there's loads of people doing it, but not like you, not like you and not like you. You do it your way. There's no one on the planet like you. No one. They ain't got your DNA. They ain't got your fingerprints. They haven't got your tone, the way you do things. They're not like you. So you can't decide to throw in the towel and get out the game of life. You can't do that. You're robbing us of what you've been given, what's hidden inside you. There's a hidden leader in all of us. There's gifts in all of us. Why don't we tap into it? Forget what this world has taught us, to fall in line, do as you're told. No, think for yourself, step out of line, feel that freedom and power of stepping out of line and saying, wait a minute, hold on, what you're saying doesn't make sense. What you're saying is not right. You're taking away my constitutional right to live life on my terms. And that's what benefits everybody else. We impact on everybody else's life by taking ownership of ours, by using our gifts and our talents, by treating everybody the way we'd like them to treat us. The problem is, bro, we're not loving ourselves. We ain't been taught to love ourselves. You have to know who you are first. You have to recognize who I am and accept that you're loved. That means you love you. By reframing that story, that everything that you've told yourself about life, how you got dealt with, how growing up was, all your relationships, all the stories you told yourself that end up being with a negative outcome, reframe it and give it a new outcome that benefits you and empowers you. I reframe my dad's story, and my dad don't love me. Look at the way he beats me. Look what he does to me. He don't love me. He don't care about me. I reframed it. Dad needs help. Dad's unfortunate because he didn't get to enjoy the blessings of young men that came out of his seed and grew up into grown men. My dad had three kings. My mum didn't know she had three kings coming out of her womb. So unless you do the job right, then you're gonna find out they done, my dad got his part wrong. But that doesn't mean if I don't walk in the right steps in believing in myself, that I can't still bear fruit and find out who I really am. Daddy didn't show me, but I showed me, because I believed and understood that I'm a special created being. That's very important, to have great self-esteem. Forget the esteem that others put on you, because normally they don't. We need to put esteem on ourselves. What do we do when we hear people talking positively about themselves? Oh, he's arrogant. You know, he thinks too much of himself. No, he doesn't. You know, what's wrong with talking about how much you love yourself? Because you can only love people at the level that you love yourself, bro. You can't love me more than you love you. You can't. So all these people that are talking about, I love you, really? Do you love yourself? The question isn't do you love me? It's do you love you? Once I know you love you, bruv, I already know that I'm going to receive good love and good treatment from you. Because I know that you love and respect yourself. You're not going to hurt other people like that because you care about yourself. You care about your children and your family. It's an expression of you. So we need to focus on ourselves first. I needed to focus on me, how I was dealing with me, and then I was able to go to the children. We all want to do positive things in life. We all want to share and help people. So now this world's going to be a greater place because of the way we think. You want to change the quality of your life? Change the quality of your thinking.